Thank you, Pastor. Such an honor to be here. Amen. All right. Well, we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here once again. I've never really figured this out, why Brother Jarvis keeps having me. Amen. After all, honestly, all you great men of God, Brother Buster, I got to hear you this evening. I hadn't heard the other men. All I could hear when I drove up on the yard was, man, we've had a meeting. Man, you don't want to hear that stuff. Amen. Don't even tell me about that. Amen. I was hoping y'all would have a flop. I'm ready. But I'm glad to hear the good report. And then, Brother Buss, I got to hear you. I am telling you what a message. What a message. My soul, what a message. I didn't even know that was in the Bible. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I must be got a different Bible from y'all. I don't know where y'all get all that stuff from. It ain't in my Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then, honestly, I got about almost here, and I was thinking, you know, we got everything, and I said, my soul, I just put my suspenders in my clothes. And I wear suspenders. I take all the loops off all my pants. And this is a deep story now. Y'all really listening? So I said, man, I didn't bring my suspenders. And this don't sound right, but my pants don't stay up without suspenders. And so I said, well, Lenore, get on the phone and find out where Belk's is. We was already out of Columbia. I said, find out where Belk's is. And I said, I think they do have one in Union. And I said, I think something was said about it being closed down. And so she got on the phone and said, yeah, there's one in Union, but it's closed. And that phone, that crazy phone, said one in Whitmire. I said, Lenore, I know ain't no Belk's in Whitmire. She said, well, it says Whitmire. Go to Whitmire and take a left or do something. I said, I can't imagine a Belk's being in Whitmire. Not Whitmire's bad. We don't have one in St. Stephen. Anybody listening? So anyway, I got on in town, didn't get no suspenders. I walked in a motel. I asked that lady, I said, ma'am, would you know where I could get some suspenders? She said, probably on Main Street at Oscar's. I said, well, I've never heard of that, but I'll go there. So I went to Oscar's. I walked in. Mr. Oscar, I guess his name was Oscar. I called him Oscar, amen. I said, Mr. Oscar, you got any suspenders? He said, oh, yeah, back there in that drawer. Go back in that drawer. Brother Tony, that's don't sound real now. With all the world going to hell and everything going on wicked and ungodly, here I am raffling over suspenders. And so I got, man, he had some nice suspenders. Nice suspenders, amen. So I got the suspenders, took them back to the motel, put my suit on, put my suspenders on, and the one clip wasn't on there. So I'm walking like this. That's how I feel tonight. I feel like I'm walking whopshotted, amen. Amen. So that ain't got nothing to do with this message, but if it don't turn out good, it's because I'm walking whopshotted, amen. What a story, what a story. That can only happen to Alfred Willis, amen. Me and my wife was walking in, and she said, I can't believe it myself, amen. So anyway, she's a whole lot more spiritual than I am, so she can't believe it. You know I can't believe it, amen. And then this message tonight, I can't believe I'm preaching this, but anyway, I'll just do my best and get out of the way and head for home, amen. Praise the Lord. Turn your Bible to John chapter number 4. John chapter 4, I am so honored. Look at them, got them all up in the balcony, amen. Every year we have that, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, John chapter number 4. I'm not really preaching on what it sounds like I'm preaching on. I'm trying to get to a point. I want y'all to know that, amen. But most of the message will be on what I'm not preaching on, amen. So if I could just get a thought out of here. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be truthful, amen. But it's a real joy. Thank y'all for all the good accommodations, amen, and all the good singing. Great preaching this afternoon. Other men preaching. Understand somebody was saved in the meeting, amen. Lord, that's wonderful, amen. All right, John chapter number 4. I'm going to read a little bit of scripture, but I am going to ask you to stand if you're physically able. If you'd stand, amen. Isn't the Lord good to us? Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. Let's begin reading a very, very familiar story in the Bible that all of us know about, or most of us would know about. Let's look at verse number 4. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, and there unto the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. His disciples for his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman saith unto answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Let's look over in verse 23. Then the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Verse 28. Then the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans in that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testifieth, he told me all that I ever did. Now, I read that tonight to use this verse and what I read tonight to try to preach on this thought. In verse number 23, he said, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And I want to use that thought. The Father seeketh such. And we know this from the Bible in many places. Those that are seeking the Lord because God first sought them. And he is seeking a crowd that wants to worship him in spirit and truth. And I want to try to use that thought tonight in regards to our priorities in life. Our priorities in life. So you pray for me that I can say something tonight that would be beneficial to those that are gathered. Let's pray. Father, help me now, I pray. I pray you'll speak to hearts. I really feel like this has been on my heart since Lord Brother Robert has once again said to come and preach. So I pray you'd help me to relate the truth that's in my heart tonight. And God, somehow you'd be glorified and God's people would be helped. So get glory to yourself, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. I understand here this well, when some in my readings, this well was at where two ways met. I thought that was very interesting. This woman come to a crossroad in life, amen, where two roads met. And so this woman, as we all know, was in desperate need of help, amen. And no doubt the Father was seeking her, the Lord Jesus was seeking her, because he said, I must needs go through Samaria. He said, I must needs go through Samaria, because he knew who was there. This woman was an outcast by her race. She was a Samaritan. She was an outcast, no doubt, by her routine or her lifestyle. She was an outcast even by her religion, amen. She had been married five times and was now living with a man. Jesus knows this woman is hurting. So he said, I must needs go through Samaria. She's hurting primarily, I think I can see in the text, she's hurting primarily from the marriages in her life. She had been married five times, amen. I got a man comes out of church. I really lost count after the fifth one, amen. and been married at least five times, if not more. This woman has been married five times. I'm thankful that God loves people who are broken people. You know, the truth of the matter is, we all know this, half of marriages break up. They tell me half of the marriages that marry, they break up. And so if we're going to reach a generation, we're going to reach those that are like this woman. Because half the people we're dealing with is people like this woman. So if we're going to reach a crowd for Christ and our church is going to be built, it's going to have to be built a great deal about people like this. So, I'm not getting into all that tonight, but I am saying this. I'm glad Jesus loves people that are in this condition. Thank God, amen. He loves people that are broken and even broken in their marriages, amen. Matter of fact, the first miracle that Jesus did was at a wedding. Amen. I'm glad he can fix it, amen. I'm glad the Lord can fix our marriage. I'm glad he fixed mine. Amen. Had not the Lord intervened in our lives, me and my wife wouldn't even be together tonight. But God in his marvelous grace came to where we were and got us saved by the grace of God and healed our marriage and put it together. Amen. Never had to go to a marriage council. Amen. Jesus did it all. Matter of fact, hey, if satisfaction is in marriage, why do so many of them break up? And that's the point I'm trying to get to tonight. Our satisfaction has to be none other than the Lord himself. Your satisfaction will not come from your marriage. So that's kind of where I'm headed tonight, amen. If the Lord will help me, amen. Do you ever thought about how many marriages in the Bible messed up? Why would you think yours wouldn't? I think sometimes we get off guard because we just settle for the fact, well, it's going to work out. It don't work out unless you work at it. Amen. Every year in our church, I'll tell you where this comes from. Every year in our church, I take the month of February, and I know you're not necessarily interested in that, but now for numbers of years, every year I take the whole month of February, and I teach on not the family, but I teach on nothing but the husband and the wife. And I do that for the whole month, nothing but the husband and the wife. Because, hey, that is what the devil does. He's going to attack your marriage. Matter of fact, he didn't attack that. He didn't attack Adam until Adam got married. Somebody help me right there. Adam and Eve's marriage got messed up. How about Abraham? His marriage got messed up. He was a great man of faith. Somebody help me. Preacher, you preaching this in this kind of meeting? I reckon so. How about Jacob? His marriage. Dear God, who's fixing breakfast at Jacob's house? They had fights over who's going to fix breakfast the next morning. Is anybody listening? How about David? You reckon his marriage got messed up? How about Solomon? How about his marriages? Did they get messed up? How about Samson? Did his marriages get messed up? And we could go on and on. I'm telling you, the devil is out to destroy our homes. Over half of them are busted up. Is anybody listening? I was talking to a fellow just this week. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I was talking to a fellow this week, and this particular family came up. I said, man, that is a good, godly family. He said, preacher, you don't know. He said, I've been in that home, and they holler and scream and fuss at each other while I'm sitting there. I'm just telling you, you better not take it for granted. If you got a good marriage and you got a good home, hey, my point is, you better work at it, amen. You know what I believe? I believe a lot of people don't know what to do when they get married. In this aspect, they don't know what marriage consists of. I found myself guilty, Brother Robert. I found myself guilty some years ago that I had not taught enough on the marriage relationship. Preacher, you preaching this in this meeting? That's the last time I'm going to say that because it's pretty evident that I am. Amen. Y'all done heard everything else. Amen. That's really not what I'm preaching on, but I'm using that to get where I want to go. If satisfaction is in marriage, why do so many break up? And wait a minute, that is the ultimate outside of salvation. The greatest relationship outside of salvation is the marriage relationship. It's not the mom and the daddy, it's the husband and the wife. Amen and amen. And so I may not sound like, but I have spent many, 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 many hours studying on the marriage relationship. And most people get married to satisfy their need. That's as contrary to the Bible as you can get. Most people get married to satisfy their need. When you ought to get married to satisfy your spouse's need. Amen. And you don't get married to correct your partner. You get married to correct yourself, because you can't correct your partner till you correct yourself. Amen and amen. So it's a little bit different. I understand it's a little bit different for this meeting. But I am saying this. Our marriages are in trouble. Amen. Our marriages in the ministry are in trouble. I tell you, not long ago, we're not calling names like Brother Buster said. Not long ago, as you know, within the last year, I was talking about this preacher and in a good way. As a matter of fact, here's what I said. I said, that man just got up and preached. That's as godly a man as I know. And I knew him pretty good. And I said, every time I hear him preach and every time I see him, here's what I think of. That's a godly man. Come to find out, his marriage is broke up now. Come to find out, the whole time he was preaching, he was living in adultery. I'm telling you. And everywhere you turn, it seemed like everywhere you turn and everywhere you head, seemed like this broke up and this broke up and this marriage is not making it. My point is simply this: hey, we better deal with that subject. I got to deal with that subject in our church. Nobody goes to the marriage altar to fail. Amen. Matter of fact, I think sometime the woman said, I'll alter him. You take him down the aisle. I'll alter him. Amen. God loves us like we are, but he loves us too much to leave us there. I'm hoping this is going to get better now. Marriage was created by God. It was God that said it's not good for man to live alone. It wasn't Adam that said that. It was God that said that. God said it's not good for man to live alone. Marriage is a spiritual thing. One man living by himself is suicide. Two men living together, that's homicide. You can't help a marriage apart from God. Why? Because God's the one instituted it. Hey, if your marriage will get help, it's got to be God. You got to seek God. That's my point. You got to seek God first to help your marriage. Amen. I seek to be a better husband. No, not outside of God. You got to have God to make it work. He said that if we'll seek him, Bible said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Now, I understand young people, they want to seek a mate. Unmarried people want to seek a mate, better seek God. I tell you, if you seek it, you get the wrong one. And by the way, if you get the wrong one, your life is messed up forever. Amen and amen. So you better seek God first. You better don't seek her. By the way, he's got one for you. If anybody had no hope, it was Adam. There wasn't even a woman in the world. And God said, Adam needs a wife. Believe me, he knows what you need. And you know what I studied on that? The Bible said God made Eve for Adam. And I'm not trying to be uncouth, but they tell me that word means built. God built a woman for Adam. Great Lord, have mercy. Here's my point. You're not hopeless. Hey, don't get ahead of God. God is able to give you a mate. God gave Adam a mate in a hopeless situation. Amen and amen. My point is simply this. Here's what I'm trying to get at. You better seek God first. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom. God seeking you. Seek him. Amen and amen. Hey, listen to that. I read about the older couple. I've been married 50 plus years. I thought about me and Lenore. I read about the old man. The old man been married 50 plus years. I said, the old man. Him and his wife been married 50 plus years. He's wearing hearing aids. I got hearing aids on. Amen. The man said, honey, 50 plus years, you've been tried and true. She's over 50 years too. She said, yeah, after 50 years, I'm tired of you too. Amen. Is anybody listening? Wife-to-be said, honey, do you love me? Husband-to-be said, yes, I love you. Wife-to-be said, would you die for me? Husband-to-be said, mine's an undying love. Anybody listening? Amen and amen. Hey, here's my point. The Bible says, seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom. The Bible said, God is seeking those that will seek him. Seek him first, and God will work it out. Amen. Better seek God. You better don't seek her. You better don't seek him. Better seek him, and he will put it together. Amen. Amen and amen. Another man is not the answer. This woman right here was seeking it, seeking satisfaction of life in a man. Amen. But hey, another man didn't answer, didn't satisfy the longings of her heart. Amen. Are you listening? Hey, four basic needs of mankind. Four basic needs of mankind. What is that? Acceptance. They tell me the four basic needs of mankind is number one, acceptance. I want to be accepted. Amen. Hey, here's great news. God will accept you no matter where you are, what you've done. He will accept you into the family of God. Hallelujah for that. God loves you no matter what you have done. Amen. God will love you no matter what you do. I don't care if you're short, tall, skinny, overweight, red, black, red, yellow, black, or white. God loves everybody. Amen. Isn't that wonderful news? Amen. He loves you on your worst day. When you get married, you will think she don't love you on your worst day. But God will love you on your worst day. Amen, amen and amen. I wish y'all listened to me. I know we done had some great preaching. I wish you'd listen to me on this subject. Amen. Most people love people based on what they don't know. Are you listening to me? Most people base their affection on a person by what they don't know about them. And then they get married. That's my problem. Here's my point. Then they get married and they find out things about them that they didn't know. And that's why a lot of them break up. Are y'all listening to me? Amen and amen. Could I tell you this? God will love you no matter what you do. I like what Brother Buster said this evening. You will never, if you ever truly get saved, when we know that, I don't even have to repeat that. I'm telling you what, that faith cannot be denied. Thank God to know it. See, I didn't know that when I got saved. I got saved in the Pentecostal church. I didn't know that. Matter of fact, I argued with that. Matter of fact, I told the chairman of deacons when he told me I was saved forever. I said, listen to me. I mean, I really did now, Brother Matthew. I said, listen to me, sir. I will never believe that. But I'm telling you what, once I got in the Bible, you can't refute it. God will never kick you out. No matter what you've done, no matter what you do, God will always keep you in the family. Amen and amen. Now he might make you wish you wasn't in the family. Amen. Here's my point. Amen. Most people love us based on what they don't know. Amen and amen. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, that we are accepted in the beloved. So why do you say that God will love you no matter what you do? You know what I thought about the other day? Do you know in the gates of heaven, over in Revelation chapter 21, and on the gates is the name of the 12 patriarchs. I'm talking about Reuben. I'm talking about Simeon. Their names are written on the gates of heaven. Now them boys could have talked the mafia things. Are you listening to me? You talking about Reuben? I ain't got time to deal with that. I looked over there right before I got to preach that over in Ezekiel chapter 48, and it names them. Three names on this gate, 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 three names on the north, three gates on the west, three gates on the south. You know that song. And them boys are the patriarchs written in heaven. And so when we get to heaven, we'll look over there and see Reuben. Gracious day. Will God love you no matter what you do? And then a few verses later, in the foundation are written the disciples. And one of them is Peter. And yet, when we get to heaven, their names will be on the foundation stone and the patriarch will be on the gate. I'm telling you, love, God's love never changes. Amen, amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? Hey, one of the basic ingredients, basic needs of man, of mankind, is he wants acceptance. Here's my point. This is what this woman was looking for. She was looking for acceptance. But I'm going to tell you what, when you get to Jesus, he'll accept you. We are accepted in the beloved. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. In marriage, when you get married, then people find out what they don't know. And that creates a lot of problems. That's why it has to be God ordained. Number two basic need is identity. Are you listening to me? What is the basic need of man? Acceptance and identity. Who are you? Amen. You are a unique soul and you're significant and special to God. God created you, amen, special. There is nobody like you. Quit trying to be somebody else. Amen and amen. If you don't know Jesus, you don't really know who you are. Are you listening? You can be who God wants you to be, amen. This woman was looking for answers. That's what I get out of this. Hey, she was looking for satisfaction in life, and she thought it was in a person. Satisfaction is not in a person, amen. Are you listening to me? I can tell you she was not pleased with what she was. The greatest endeavor in life other than salvation is marriage. So the greatest endeavor after salvation is marriage. And she had five of them and she still wasn't satisfied. Are y'all listening to me? Amen and amen. Those men no doubt had problems. I'm not saying those men. You know you could put a woman away for anything. According to Matthew chapter 19. Amen. According to the law of Moses, you could put a woman away for anything. I'm not saying she was all the fault, but I am saying this. She was not finding satisfaction in a person. Amen. I hope I'm not boring y'all. I'll get it short. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. Satisfaction is not in a man. Amen. Amen. Your satisfaction will not be all together. Thank God I'm promoting marriage. But if it's just marriage, you're not going to be satisfied. That's why half of them break up. Hey, your satisfaction not going to be in a Marlboro, not going to be in meth, not going to be in a Mercedes, not going to be in a mansion. Your satisfaction is in a man, and it's the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Not a man, it's the man. Amen. Hey, basic need of people is, they tell me is what? The basic need of people is what? Acceptance, identity, security. You know what they tell me in my studies? The greatest need of a woman is security. They said, above all needs, the greatest need that a woman has in a marriage is to know that she's secure. The greatest need a man has is respect or honor. If the wife dishonors her husband, then nothing cuts him down more than that. I hope I ain't boring y'all. Woman's greatest need is security. She wants to have a man that she knows is going to keep her safe and secure. Praise God. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. Ain't nobody like Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. I was in a place one day, and they told me to go to this place because it's a Christian restaurant. And I went to a Christian restaurant, and I don't know how this happened, Brother Barry, but I sat down, and the table next to me, it was two couples there. And I got my wife with me. And I'm 5'6", amen, on a good day. And I'm at a Christian restaurant now, and the two men over there and their wives, they was using all kind of profanity. Well, I got my wife with me. I'd have pretty well took it if I'd have been by myself. Amen. But my wife was sitting there. And so I took it. And finally, I looked over. I said, hey, fellas. I said, my wife's sitting here. I appreciate y'all wouldn't use that kind of language. He said, you want to step outside? I said, I reckon so. I don't know how that got fouled up. I think God intervened. We never did get outside. That's why I'm still here. But hey, I'm just telling you, I know you can't stop the whole world from cussing, but I'm going to tell you, some things I'm going to do for my wife, amen. I'm going to protect my wife. You might can beat me, amen, but you'll have to run fast to do it. Somebody help me. Is anybody listening? I ain't come to make you laugh. I'm trying to tell you, your wife needs to feel secure, amen. Amen and amen. Amen. We got to the car and she said, honey, I appreciate you doing that. I like to think she did that. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. That's what the Bible said. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Thank God we got security in Christ. Amen. Thank God for that. Then the basic need of mankind is a purpose. What is the purpose of life? That is what's so wonderful about being saved. I think we had somebody saved today. I'm going to tell you what, the greatest thing ever happened to you when you got saved today, you got a purpose in life. Yeah. Dear God, my purpose used to be get up in the morning, go to the pool room, stay there till they close the door, amen, drink Paps and Budweiser's and Corral's, amen. Thank God, that's over. That's over. I got a prayer. I got up this morning, put on my clothes, and said, I'm going to a preaching meeting, amen. Thank God I got a purpose in life. Getting saved did that, amen. Seek first the kingdom of God. A man named Pastor Caldwell said, there's two great moments in life. The moment you were born and the moment you realize why you were born. Thank God we had purpose this morning. But when we got up this morning, Brother Isaiah, we have a purpose in life. Amen and amen. Amen. The college survey question was asked to the college students. Hey, the number one question they asked them about life. And here's what they said. The college survey said, why are we here? That's what college students said. Why are we here? I'm glad I got a purpose. Amen and amen. Amen. Our satisfaction is in seeking the Lord. I'm glad I'm no longer, hey, in all that other junk that I used to be in. Our security, our purpose, our identity, our acceptance is in Christ. Amen. But if you're trying to find it in someone or something, you will never be satisfied. Amen. Because only Christ offers complete security, complete satisfaction. Amen. Purpose in life. Amen. Amen. She didn't find it in her first husband. She didn't find it in a second husband. She didn't find it in a third husband. She didn't find it in a fourth husband. It's unbelievable. She didn't find it in her fifth husband. As a matter of fact, it was so bad, she didn't marry the sixth one. She said, I found satisfaction not in a man, so I'm not even marrying him. I'll just live with him. That's where we are. That is where we are. That is where we are today. Do you know what I read, Brother Brown? You know what I read? I read marriage rate in 1930 was 83% of people of marriage age. Marriage age was 83%. In 2017, it's 49.7. Less than half the people of marriage age is married. And what? In the 30s, amen, hey, it was 83%. Most adult Americans are not married. That's where we are. Because they're trying to find satisfaction in a person here, and you don't find complete satisfaction in a person here. It has to be a person up there. Amen, amen and amen. Oh, Lord, I'm trying to hurry. I'm trying to hurry. People can't meet your need. People can't. Your spouse can't meet every need you got. Amen. Hey, listen to this. She found out, hey, that those men could not meet her need, but she met a man that could meet her need. Amen. Hey, she became discouraged, so she didn't marry the sixth one. Are you listening? Hey, she became, no doubt, probably bitter about it. She thought five men had let her down. I want to say something there. Listen to this now. If you transfer all your expectation to people, you set them up to failure. Listen to me now, church. I know that don't sound much, but if you put all your expectation in people, you set them up, they're going to fail you. Because people can't meet your every need, and they're going to let you down. That's what's so great about Jesus. He will never let you down. Hey, if you set all your expectation on a friend, that friend's going to let you down. If you set all your expectation, even in your spouse, amen, they're not perfect. You set them up to fail you. Because they can't do it. Only Jesus can do that. If you set all your expectation in your pastor, I got news for you. He's going to let you down. Because he is not perfect. I love my pastor. You love him while he's doing everything. Do you love him when he rebukes you? Man, I'll tell you down through the years, I'm for the church. I pastor church. I love our church. I love church people. Some of the greatest ones. Oh, preacher, tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. Oh, tell it like it is, preacher. I said, okay. Till you tell them.
That's right.
And I believe they're for you. I believe they're for you. I really believe when they say they're for you. But till you tell them. Dear God, there's so many ways the devil can get in a church. There's no way imaginable how the devil can get in the church, how the devil can get between close friends, how the devil can get between a congregation and a pastor. It is unbelievable. That's why we got to set our affections on him. That's what I'm trying to preach. It ain't coming out real good, but I'm trying. You better put your affection. You better understand when you put your affections in a person, they are you better understand when you do that, that they are going to fail you. They're going to let you down. Now, I'm not talking about running off. I'm not talking about stealing the money. I'm talking about just because they're human, they're going to let you down. But Jesus will never let you down. That's what I'm trying to preach on. This woman was looking in satisfaction and people down below, five husbands. It never come. She never got it. Amen and amen. Are y'all listening? Hey, you think satisfaction's in a position? Oh, man. Here's what young preachers, I once was one. Oh, man, if I could preach in that meeting, I will have arrived. Not necessarily. Thank God for the honors. I don't know. I'm not saying this humbly. I'm saying this with a false humility. How I get to preach it, I don't know how in the world I get. I don't know the Bible like y'all do. Somehow, one fella told me the reason you get to preach a lot is because you talk funny. That's what he told me. He said the reason you get to preach is because you got a different accent. I said, well, thank God. Where are you preaching? I know something must get me there. It ain't my ability. It's not my intellect. It must be my language. Amen. My brother told me one time, said, all you preachers do is dress up and ride around and eat out. And you know, for a long time, I told my brother, I said, brother, that ain't right. He said, every time I see you dressed up and ride around, you're going to eat somewhere. And you know, after I thought about it for a while, I think he's right. Amen. Somebody help me. Amen. Here's my point. I'm feeling pretty good right now. So I'm walking around like this. I'm feeling pretty good. Are y'all listening? People can't meet your need. Hey, you will be discouraged. Hey, you will be discouraged if you put all your confidence in people. Put your confidence in Jesus. Hey, we'll become bitter. Amen. Hey, listen to me. No matter who they are. Hey, when I first got saved, I'm going to tell this real quick. I know I've told this before. I probably told it here. I don't know. When I first got saved as a man in the church, when I got saved, they didn't know what happened to me. The church didn't know what happened to me. The preacher didn't know what happened to me. I walked down the aisle on Sunday morning. I got saved on Thursday. I walked down the aisle. I said, preacher, I got saved Thursday night. He did not know what to do. And so the deacons come by, patted me on the back. I know I've told, I don't want to tell that again. But there was a man coming to me, his name was Brother Reeves. And Brother Reeves used to be in the Air Force, and he heard Dr. Seitlin and Oliver Green and all those great preachers. I didn't know nothing about that then. He said, Brother Alfred, let me tell you something. Now, these people don't know what happened to you. You got saved. I said, I know that. He said, but they don't know what happened to you. I said, I'm beginning to believe that. I'm not trying to be funny. They didn't know, Brother Jonathan, they didn't know. And so I had my confidence in Buck because he befriended me. So Buck told me to come to his house and eat supper with him. I went out there one night, eat supper with him. And when I got there, Buck wasn't there. His wife was there. So we went in. I hung around a little while. I said to her, I said, Sister Reeves, where's your husband? She said, Alfred, that's what I got you here to tell you. He's run off with a woman. I said, do what? She said, he's run off with a woman. I said, now this is the man I got my confidence in. She said, Alfred, this is not new. He's done this repeatedly. Man, I went home, Brother Gene, I'm telling you, before God, I went home that night. I was so down, so distraught. Amen. Because I had my eyes on a person. And I know y'all gonna laugh at this, but this is the truth. I didn't know no better back then. I had one of them big old albums like that, them big old round albums. I put it on there, and a man coming in. There is a river that flows by the throne of God. I had, help me, Brother Swaggart. Help me. Dear God, I found out he's running around with four or five women. Then I drove all the way up to Lynchburg, Virginia to hear a man with a red tie, had a red Bible, say, it's fun being saved. I said, glory to God. I drove all, dropped my little Volkswagen, drove all the way to Lynchburg, Virginia, pulled up to the Thomas Road Baptist Church. I said, what time is service tonight? We come from around Charleston to hear Brother Bob Harrington preach. They said, he ain't here. I said, where is he at? They said, you haven't heard? I said, no. They said, they caught him running around with a woman. I said, dear Lord. So I go back home. I find me a good Bible preaching church like this. I get in that church. I start serving God. One night we pull up a visitation, 25 men in the parking lot. The preacher rolls up, steps out in the car, and the men said, tell them where we caught you, preacher. So my preacher's running around with a woman. About five people in my life when I first got saved. If my confidence had been completely in them people, I wouldn't be here tonight. But thank God I got a bridegroom that's always been faithful to his bride. Amen. He has never run around on his bride. His name is Jesus. Amen. And I had my confidence in him. You can't put confidence, but you can put your confidence. He will never let you down. Wow, glory. Amen. I'm telling you, church, this is a simple little message. But I'm telling you, if we could learn this lesson right here, hey, saddest, you will not, people down here gonna fail you. That don't mean we walk around looking over our shoulder. I don't mean that. Amen. But I'm telling you, you better understand this. People will let you down. Enter every relationship knowing it could get messed up. Amen. So let me give you this and I'm through. Position won't satisfy. Popularity won't satisfy. You have to have Jesus. Amen. Seek ye first. Amen. Notice this and I'm through. My wife, now I say this reverently, because I think I have a wonderful wife. My wife is a wonderful wife, but she's not a good Jesus. And that don't belittle her. She won me to God. But we all have faults and failures. Matter of fact, I love my wife so much. When Mother's Day come around, Valentine's Day, I went down to the store. Dear God, I got me a big old balloon heart. I mean like that. I took it back over to my office. I bought me a Milky Way, and I got me a card. And I wrote in the card, roses are red, violets are blue. Sugar is sweet, but ain't sweet as you. I said, on this particular day, I can't remember how I put that. It was a good poem, though. This particular day, you'll get all your wishes. I'm in the kitchen washing the dishes. I did. I had all kind of stuff in it. So she come in. She walked in. She's going down. I said, no, Mama, come. I want you to come in the office. I want you to come in the office. And so she stepped in that office, and I had that big old, Brother Brandon, I had that big old balloon there with a little note at the end with a Milky. She don't like Milky Ways, but I do. I said, Mama, look what I got. I said, read the poem. Oh, she read the poem. I fell down on the floor, got on her feet, kissed her feet. Thank God for my wife. But in all of that, I fail her, she fails me. Because ultimately, our greatest expectation is in Jesus. Oh, I hope we get that tonight, church. I know that's so simple from what y'all been hearing. But I'm going to tell you what, you better understand this. Everything down here fails you. It may not fail you, but it's temporal. Sister Jones, your daddy, I guess 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks, I don't know, somewhere around that, about 5:30 on a Sunday morning, texts me. After your mama went to glory, he texted me on a Sunday morning about 5:30 in the morning. He said, Brother Willis, God is so good. And he had about a scripture about on there, about like that. And his wife's in heaven. Because even down here, no matter how wonderful your relationship, everything's temporal. That's why you better put your confidence in one. He's eternal.
That's right. Amen.
I tell this, and I'll quit. Brother Gene knows this story. Probably Brother Jonathan. I don't know where he preached that. I know we had him preach at our church. So I don't know if that was when some of y'all were there or just our church. But Brother William Strong had to bury his wife this year. And Brother William Strong in our church, I don't know who was there that night. But here's what he told. He said, my wife was at the school teaching the kids. And one of the kids hit the ball and it hit her in the chest. And he said, I mean, really hard. hit her in the chest real hard, so much more, they had to take her inside. Well, he said, I knew nothing about that because I was working. And he said, on the job, I was working, and I was walking to the lunchroom because it was lunch break. And he said, on the way to the lunchroom, I was walking with one of my supervisors, and he said, all of a sudden, something hit me in the chest so hard I fell to my knees. And the man said, what's wrong with you, Mr. Strong? He said, I don't know, man. Something just hit me in the chest. He said, are you having a heart attack? He said, I don't know. I feel all right now. He said, well, man, we better get you checked out. Checked him out. Wasn't nothing wrong with him. So that afternoon when he pulled up in the yard, some of the grandkids come and said, Granddaddy, Granddaddy, Mama was playing ball today, and the ball hit her right in the chest and hurt her bad. He said, what time was that? He said, well, it was about 5 to 12. He said, that's the exact time that I got hit in the chest walking to the lunchroom. One flesh. She got hit by a ball, and he felt the pain on the job. One flesh. I tell you, when he told that story, all I could do is weep. God puts us together. And as close as we are, yet we're still going to let one another down. But we have one called Jesus. He'll never let you down. I know that's been so simple, preacher. But I'm telling you what we better learn. Better learn this. Better learn. People. I got a bunch right there. I'm quitting. Listen here. Hey, here's what the Bible said. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Are you listening? He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. He shall direct thy path. Let me ask you this, and I'm quitting. Do you trust Jesus? I didn't ask you if you're saved. Here's what I ask you. Do you trust him? Amen. How do you know if you trust him? Because when you got problems, he's the first one you run to. When you got situations, you bring them to him. We must have a personal relationship with Christ. Are you listening to me? I have needs. You have needs. Here's what he says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Here's what she said after she met Jesus. Come see a man. She's back on that man thing again. Come see a man. His name is Jesus. And he's the one who will never let you down. He'll always keep you safe and secure. And he's the one to give you purpose in life. Let's stand together, preacher. You come.